What Jesus did wasn't simple, but I'll tell you right now, the message that he had is fairly simple. And I'm going to show you that here in just a moment. But we need to listen closely, and we need to pay a lot of attention to what Jesus is telling his people. Do you agree with that? Do we all agree with that? Amen. We need to listen to what God is saying. And we look out into the society today and we say, well, what in the world is going on? Why have people lost their minds? Why are people getting themselves involved in what they're getting themselves involved in? Why is our children doing what they're doing today? Why is mature adults doing what they're doing? Even further than that, why are Christian people, the people that think and come out and say, well, I love Jesus Christ, why are they doing the things that they're doing? I will tell you why, brothers and sisters, not from a judgmental standpoint, but I can tell you this according to the world standards, and I can tell you what we're seeing is people today are not listening to Jesus Christ. Amen? They're going by what man says. They're going by what feels good. We have got ourselves caught up in a feel-good religion. And brothers and sisters, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. I didn't say it. That great prophet said it. Are we together so far? All right. So listen, the Son of Man, the Son of the Living God, your Savior, my Savior, we need to understand and know that he left heaven, the beauty of heaven, the comfort of heaven, where there's no war, no racial contention, there's no sicknesses, there's no illnesses, there's no problems, there is none of these things of the negative mind. Everything in heaven was perfect. And then Jesus looked down and he saw, God looked down and he saw all of the evil and the thoughts and the imagination of man was evil continually and knew that there needed to be a sacrifice. So we need to think about what Jesus did for you and what he did for me. We need to think about what God did and how he sent his only begotten Son to take your place and to take my place up on that cruel cross at Calvary. You know what? We can handle a lot of punishment. I know growing up, I wasn't probably one of the best kids. Be quiet, Dana. I wasn't one of the... That's my sister I told to be quiet, by the way. But, I wasn't probably one of the best ones. And I can tell you, punishment was no good. But that is nothing. The punishment I got growing up was nothing compared to what Jesus went through on that cruel cross at Calvary. Not for his sin, because Jesus didn't have any, but because of my sin. Do we get that? Because of your sin. That's why he went to that cruel cross at Calvary. But Jesus came here. He's your Savior. He's my Savior. And he left heaven to come to this earth where we're at this very day to fulfill the wishes of his Father. The message, as I said, is very simple. His death wasn't simple. His task wasn't simple, but the message was. And still is simple this very day. Jesus Christ came here to this earth to seek and to save that which is lost. Are we in agreement thus far? In the book of Luke, if you don't mind, in the book of Luke chapter 19, down in verse 10, I want us to be sure that when we leave the building today, we never say, this is what Brother Jerry said, or this is what the preacher said. I want us to be able to leave the building saying, this is what God said. This is what the Bible said. Is that okay with everybody? I'm just a lowly messenger. I'm just telling you what God is showing me in his word. But the Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter 19 down in verse 10, that God's beautiful word says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which, come on, you say it like you mean it. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which... All right, and then let's go to John chapter 3. Let's hang out in verse 16 and 17, a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that we should all know. And in case you don't, we're supplying that for you over my left shoulder and to my right shoulder. You can do this together. Are we ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his... Very good. And then let's go on to verse 17. Wow, we pulled that away, didn't we? Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So can we say, thank you, our Heavenly Father? Very good. So that the world, that you and I might be saved. Jesus came here, brothers and sisters, to get his children. Jesus came here to take us home. Do you realize that? He came here to pick us up and to take us out of this sin-filled world, to take us out of this sin-sick society, and to take us home and to be with God and the heavenly host. All I want to think about is Jesus Christ. I just want to think about how great he is and how sacrificial he is and how he gave his life and he gave everything about himself, and he did it because of his love for the Father and his love for you and me. Does that make any sense? I want us all to remember today that Jesus had a mission, and I want us to know and to remember that he could not be stopped. Did you know that nobody could stop Jesus? Do you realize that? Nobody but nobody could stop him. Even the grave that he was in, the borrowed grave of Joseph of Arimathea, death could not even stop Jesus Christ. Do we agree with that? Dana, do you realize that? That death could not even stop our Jesus. What about the beatings that he went through? Do you remember the beatings that he went through? He was scourged 40 minus 1. 40 will kill you. 39 took him right to the point of death. But he was beat, Bobby, 39 times. And did Jesus keep going? Absolutely. What about the fact that people were mocking him? They were saying negative things about our Jesus as he was hanging on that cruel cross at Calvary. Do you think that stopped him? Do you think he called those legions of angels that he could have called? He could have called thousands of those angels and said, take me down and zap these people. But do you think he did that? No. He kept going. Why did he keep going? Because he loves you and he loves me and he's going by the will of his Father. Do we get an amen? Yes or no? So remember that Jesus had a mission. I want you to remember that Jesus Christ is risen. Say that with me. Jesus Christ is risen. Mission accomplished. Do we get that? Mission accomplished. What about the rejection? He had one of his closest followers, Darlene. One of his people that claimed to be his friend. What did he do? You remember he walked up and he said, the one I what? Kiss. That's the one you need to arrest. We think in our time that we've had treachery of a friendship. We've had people that we thought we could trust. We've had people that we thought was the closest friend we could ever have. And then something is said, something is done, and it breaks that friendship up. The treachery of a friend, that's nothing compared to what Judas did to our Jesus. Are you with me so far? All right. So head over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4 together. Jesus had a mission, and I'm convinced that it was Jesus' chief desire, and it was his desire to fulfill the wishes of the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. I hope you're there because I will engage you. Are you ready to be engaged? Not everybody said that, so I'm watching. First one I see nodding off, I'm going to wake it up. All right. Only I can sleep during my sermons. Okay. That made no sense, did it, Courtney? All right. All right, chapter 15, verse 1. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the which I preach to you, which you also received and which you stand. Go to 2. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word that I preach to you, unless you believed in what? Very good, Heather, unless you believed in vain. Are y'all ready for verse 3? For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for whose sin? His sin. Y'all did not read it right. He died for, Teresa, don't start. All right, very good. He died for our sin. How much sin did Jesus have? None. He died for our sins according to the what? Scriptures. Very good. Y'all like this so far? All right, just making sure. If you don't, we're going to keep doing it anyway. All right, verse 4. And that, y'all ready? And that he, talking about Jesus, was what? Buried. Then he arose again on what day? According to the. So that's why I want to remind you. This isn't something that Jerry T said. This is something the Bible says. Amen? Jesus Christ came here. He is risen. Mission accomplished so far. All right? Mark chapter 10, 33, 34. I want you to head that way. And while you're putting your finger on that, I want you to go back and hang out in the book of Hosea with me. Hosea. But I want you to be at Mark, if you don't mind as well. Mark chapter 10, 33, 34. But we're going to hang out in Hosea chapter 5 for just a moment. Now, I wanted you to be over at Mark 10 because as soon as I finish Hosea, we're going that direction. Is that good with everybody? Even if it's not, that's still probably what we're going to do. All right. So I'm just trying to be fair. So look over at Hosea chapter 5, and we're going to go from Hosea 5, verse 15, to chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. So watch what's going on in this passage of Scripture. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. God's word says, I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek whose face? The Bible says, my face. Now watch this. In their affliction, they will earnestly do what? They're going to seek me. Go to 6, chapter 6. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has, watch this, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will receive us. On the third day, He raises us up that we may live in whose sight? That we might live in His sight. So you see how important it is just in that passage of Scripture how we better be getting ourselves squared away. Amen? What do you think He's telling Israel? He's saying, you know what? We got some things going on. There's some defilement happening. There's some negative things going on that's not conducive with what your lifestyle should be. So fix it. Is that pretty good? That's a Woodbine term right there. Fix it. You finna get in trouble. Is that about right? Y'all know what finna means? All right. Just want to make sure we're all somewhere like finna. Now, what exactly would be finna? All right. But people are about to get in trouble with God. Do you realize it? Mark chapter 10, 33, 34, the scripture says, behold, we are going up to where? And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn Him unto what? And deliver Him to the Gentiles. Verse 34, the Bible says, and they will mock Him, and they will spit on Him, and they're going to ultimately do what? The Bible says they're going to kill Him. And on the third day, He, talking about Jesus, will, listen to me, He will, the Bible says, rise again. Isn't that awesome? So Jesus Christ is risen, mission accomplished. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus Christ, is all we can say. Thank you, Almighty God, for allowing sinners like Jerry Ladd an opportunity at salvation. Thank you for allowing us a group of people, a group of sinners, just another opportunity to make sure that things are right in our relationship with Him. Eternity is a long time, isn't it? I've said before, I hear these people lie all the time. These preachers ain't nothing but liars, y'all, when they talk about you're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. That's not true. That is the biggest lie you can ever give. Don't care what preacher it is, I'll stand right there and tell you, you're lying. Because number one, you can't spend eternity, amen? I can spend a dollar, if you give me a nickel, I can go out and spend that nickel, but I can't spend eternity. Eternity means, say it like you mean it. Eternity means forever. So you're going to be somewhere for eternity. You can't spend eternity. That means that if I'm in hell for eternity or spend eternity there, that eventually it ends. Well, it doesn't end, brothers and sisters. But I'm thankful for the promise of heaven, for those who are faithful, for those who are obedient, for those that have put on the breastplate of righteousness, for those who put on the helmet of salvation, for those who've girded themselves up and ready to dress themselves and being able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one, which we also known as the devil, also known as, starts with an S, Satan. Very good. That's what it's about. Christ is risen, mission accomplished. Now, in order for you and me to do that, we need to make sure that we're right with Jesus. Does that sound about right? 1 John chapter 1, the quicker you answer, the quicker right here, the quicker you get to eat. Okay? So I got a button right here I push and it locks the door. So I'm like one of those bank tellers. If I think you're robbing it, beep. Okay. So let's be ready. I'm kidding, no button. I just have a security guard back there. Okay, let's go to 1 John 1:7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, does what? Cleanses us from all of our sin. I love that, don't you? It cleanses us from all of our sin. So we need to be sure that, brothers and sisters, that we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, how thankful are you today that Jesus Christ left the beauty of heaven, the comfort of heaven? How thankful are you to that, to come to this earth to rescue sinners like you and me? How thankful are you that Jesus gives us His Word right here, right now, and it's called the Bible, amen? How thankful are you for Jesus Christ giving us His promises? I stand today on the promises of Jesus. Do you realize that? We all stand today. We're doing what we're doing today because we're depending upon the promises of Jesus of what's going to come for those that are faithful unto Him. We're today, we're standing in awe, and we're standing in love with Jesus Christ, aren't we? We got a lot of people here, and four people said amen. We're standing in awe of Jesus and in love with Jesus, amen? All right, say it like you love Him. His forgiveness. Isn't it great that we are standing in the forgiveness of God for those that are Christians? For those that are faithful followers, we have the forgiveness of God. We're standing in His grace. We're in His mercy. And thank you, God, for understanding somebody like me. The things that I did. Thank you, Jesus, for understanding somebody like Jerry. Our God is an awesome God. That doesn't give us a crutch. That doesn't give us a license to go out and practice sin and say, well, God understands that. because then you have to deal with what the Hebrew writer said in 10:26 of Hebrew. If you continue to sin willfully after knowing right from wrong, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. I didn't like that passage of Scripture when I saw it, and I don't like it today. You know why? Because it's correction, and this old boy don't like correction. I'm stubborn. I don't like anybody telling me what to do. But after 41 years of marriage, I find out somebody's going to tell you what to do, and God's going to convict you if you don't. So I decided I might as well go ahead and just take part. So now I love Hebrew 10:26. Looking at our own life, me looking at mine, you looking at yours. Did Jesus come here in your life in vain? With what he did, is he in vain? Absolutely. And this side, three people. No. Did Jesus come here and die in vain? That's a great big no. I'm not. I'm proud to tell it. No, I don't want Jesus dying in vain in my life. When we look at what Jesus went through, he did it for you and me. And we look at, just have a little glance, it appeared that Jesus, could he have been defeated? Did it appear that way at first when they started beating him and scourging him and mocking him and all that? I know for me, I would have failed immediately. I know me. I know my weaknesses. But not my Jesus. Not my Jesus. What did he do? I think Jesus, this is a Jerry deal, do with it what you want. But I think Jesus kept thinking about the love that he had for his Father and the love that he had for you and me, and he kept on taking those beatings. He kept on taking that rejection. He kept on taking the fact that he was being mocked. And you know what? That's not our nature today, is it? You do one thing against me, if you're bigger than me, you know I can't fight. I've been beat up in every fight I've ever been in, but I'll get somebody else that can. If I can't get you during the day, I'll vandalize your house at night. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll flatten your tires. I know you got a new car. I'm fixing to dice it up a little bit. Now, everybody's going to be watching their vehicles. I think that preacher said that he would. I'm not really going to do that. My neighbors will do it. We got to move on. Okay, so our Savior, Jesus Christ, he overcame death. Is that right? And he now lives, and he's going to live forever. And folks, listen to me. Those who die in Christ Jesus, I got great news for you today. Those who die in Christ Jesus, we too will live forever in a beautiful, prepared place called heaven. And that's what I'm longing for. But in order to do that, you got to be a disciple. Well, what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who abides in his word. John chapter 8, verse 31, the Bible says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple. Give me the next word. Indeed. Jesus puts emphasis on that. But that word abide means live in, doesn't it? That word abide means to understand that Christ left heaven, came to this earth, died for us. Upon the third day, he rose again. Now he's ascended back on high, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he is up there, and he is doing what? He's mediating your case and my case. I have to look at him like this. Jesus is my attorney. He's my God, because I'm going to appear before the ultimate judge, which is God. Who is God, correct? And I'm going to need way more than the knowledge of any human being. I'm going to need Jesus to say, God, forgive him, please. This is what he's done. But in order to do that, we've got to be involved. We've got to abide in his word, because we got to be his disciple indeed. In the book of John, chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, we can know that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Is that right? On this side? All right, very good. So we know that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. In John chapter 14, verse 2, the Bible says, in my Father's house are many. And he said, if it wasn't, I'd have told you. And then he says, I'm going there to do what? Very good, Leanne. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be. Come on. Also, now look at the blessed assurance that we have in that. That Jesus is preparing the very home that we're longing for. How can anybody say anything against that? They can't, can they? Amen? So, Christ is risen, mission accomplished. So please remember for our lesson today that Jesus left heaven and he left for a reason. Let you and I take a quick look at just a few reasons that we're convinced, according to the Bible, that he left the comfort, the beauty of heaven to come to this earth, listen to me, filled with sin, this earth that is filled with violence, this earth that is filled with deceitfulness and murder and sexual immorality and so on. But let's consider the following. Why in the world would Jesus leave all of that to come to this? Amen? So I want us to think about that a little bit further. But I want to make sure that we all remember that everything that God has done for us is because he loves us. in the book of Romans chapter 5, down in verse 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were yet, what happened? Christ died, and who did he die for? Christ Jesus, he died for us. So let's take a look at a few points this morning as we talk about Christ is risen, mission accomplished. The first point I want us to examine this morning is this. I'm convinced according to the scripture, that's where I'm getting my information. Where are you getting yours? Five of you getting it from the scriptures and the rest of you TV guide. Where are you getting your information? From the Bible. Okay, so the first point I want us to get to is this. Christ had a mission to come here to reveal his Father, didn't he? He come here to tell us a little bit more about God. Isn't that awesome? That we've got a Jesus that loves us that much? That we've got a God in heaven, a creator that loves us so much that he sent his Son here? Said, go and tell your people, tell my people, prepare my people for that ultimate journey back home. Thank you, Jesus, for that. In the Old Testament, there are glimpses of God. If you read and you start in the book of Genesis and you work through the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of glimpses of God. You'll see about his character, won't you? You'll see about his sincerity, won't you? You'll see about his promises. You'll see how God is such a great and awesome God. But you'll also see the severity of God. You're going to see that, you know what, our God is a great God, but don't you think that God is a weak God, amen? Because God, according to the scriptures, we saw what happened when you continue in sin. We can witness over and over and over when you go against the very commandment of God. There was a guy named Jonah that God said, you need to go out to Nineveh and cry out against this area, and you need to preach to them. The Bible says cry out, but that's not what it meant. It didn't mean cry like I do when I get my light bill. That's not what he's talking about. But he's saying go and do what? Preach to them. Well, Jonah had a different idea. He went another direction. And where did Jonah end up? Y'all remember that? In Laverne, Tennessee. Ended up in the belly of a great big fish, didn't he? How long did he stay there? Wasn't it like 90 days? It was 3 days and how many nights? You remember how he exited the place? They didn't come and get his luggage and say, hey, Jonah, it's time to go. Okay, actually just came right on out with it. Vomit. Okay, so we know that the great fish, that whale, was it a whale, you think? All right. He regurgitated and he just kind of threw him up, as you said, vomited him up, and here he went. At that point, did God have Jonah's attention? Did he have his attention? How many times have we found ourselves, brothers and sisters, in the belly of that great fish? I guarantee you, if we're honest with ourselves, we find ourselves there many times. How did I get here, God? Well, I can tell you how I got here is I didn't listen. I didn't listen to your word. I listened to what somebody else said. I went by my emotions. I wasn't thinking, Jesus, about you leaving the beauty, comfort, splendor of heaven, doing what you did for us. It was all about me operating on my emotions. How many of us have gotten in trouble on our jobs and our marriages and our relationships with our kids, et cetera, because we manage with our emotions and not our mind? Anybody besides the preacher being guilty? Two of us, three of us, and then we got a bunch of liars in here too, don't we? So the reality is that we can find ourselves, if we manage with emotion, instead of listening to what God says, we can get ourselves in a little bit of a pickle, can't we? Christ had a mission, and it is to reveal his Father God. We've got to make sure that we're not like Jonah, which God tells us to go out and to do what? In Matthew 28, he says, go out and make disciples of all the nations. He says, baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Didn't he? Are y'all convinced of that? Okay. And then he said what? Teaching them to what? Observe all these things I've commanded you. And he says, what is the promise? Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of age, doesn't he? So we need to make sure that we're willing to do what God's calling us to do. And I want to make sure that we understand that Christ had a mission, and it's to come to reveal his Father. We talked about the severity of God. We talked about Jonah, how he kind of suffered some of the severity of God. But what about a couple of cities? Let me think about what these were. Was it Lebanon and Hermitage? No, I think it was Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't it? So when we think about Sodom and Gomorrah, can you show your children on a map where they used to be? Are y'all getting the picture? Sodom and Gomorrah was totally destroyed because of sin, rebelling against God. Is that about right? Not doing what the Lord had instructed. So I want you to remember that Jesus came here to show us how awesome God is, how much love God has for you, how much love he has for me, but don't take God's love as a weakness. Because there's severity of God. God's word can do a couple of different things. It can push you into doing the right thing. Sometimes it can neutralize you where I don't really know what to do. That's why it's important that we come together to learn God's word, isn't it? And sometimes people will rebel against God's word and say, I refuse to do that. There are so many people in our world today, brothers and sisters, listen to me, that's got a horrible disease. And it's not cancer and it's not kidney failure. It's the I, my disease. I will do this and it's my life and I will do this and I'll do that and it's my desire to do this. And I, when you find yourself diagnosed with the I, my disease, you better hit this front row. Amen. You better get things right in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus came here with a mission, and that is to bring his children back home. It's not that complicated. It really isn't. We complicate it, but it's not that hard. We either get right with Jesus or we hang out with Satan. Amen? It's your choice today. But Jesus is risen, mission accomplished. Yes or no? I think about John chapter 8 down in verse 19. The Bible says, then they said to him, where is your father? If you had known me, you would have known my father also. And then I like to think about what the scripture says in the book of John chapter 10, down in verse 30. John chapter 10, down in verse 30, the Bible says, I and my father, we are one. Very good. So then let's head over to the book of Hebrews. Does that sound okay with everybody? Does anybody know if that's the Old Testament or New? I can't find it. New Testament? Is it right past Ecclesiastes? All right, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Are you ready? Say found if you found it. All right, let's go. So Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the scripture says, God, who at various times, watch this, and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers, how did he speak to them? Through the who? Through the prophets. Go to verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Do you like that? Whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. What does that mean? Saved us. Saved us. Awesome. Amen. So he saved us. Now watch this. He purged our sin and now sit down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That means he is sitting at the right hand of who? Very good, Buster. Sitting at the right hand of God. Friends, I just wanted to remind you in this first point, Jesus came here to reveal his Father. He come here and share with us about who God is. You know who he is. I know who he is, but do we really know who he is? Does that make any sense? Some people in the world knows about God. They've heard of God, but do they know who God is? Jesus shows us just that. The second point I want to examine today, as we talk about Christ is risen, mission accomplished, here's your second point. I'm convinced that Jesus came here to establish his church. Okay. Jesus Christ, didn't want to make sure you heard me. Jesus Christ came here to establish his church. With all of the religious division that's out there today, with all of this so-called organized religion, it is so nice to know that we can all be added to the church that was established on the day of Pentecost. Amen? Isn't it nice to know that it was Jesus that established his church on the day of Pentecost? I, Jerry T., don't want to be part of a church named after some man. I don't want to be part of a group or religious group. I don't want to be part of the religious division. I don't want to be part of denominationalism. What do you do? Are you Church of Christ? Are you this? Are you that? Are you this? They can ask that till they turn blue, green, yellow if they want to. And I'm going to keep saying no. I am a Christian. Amen? I am a child of the Most High God. I am not part of denomination. God doesn't like division. I am a member, been added to the body of Jesus Christ. I've been added to the body of Christ by Him. No one had to vote on me to get me in. No one had to come up front and say, well, by letter, he wants to come here. I'll never forget, ever forget, before I became a Christian, my wife made me go to a group that she was at. It's in Antioch. And I say that literally, made me go, because I'm not the boss all the time, just most of the time at home. And I remember after a while, I went 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe, and then Paula said, you're going up front. And I said, for what? And she said, you're going up front. They got to vote you in. Well, I thought she was joking. And I said, well, what do I say? I said, are they going to have anything to eat afterwards? Are we going to like have a plate lunch celebration? And she said, no, just get up there. So I did. I walked up to the front. I had no idea what I was supposed to do. The guy comes up, and he sits down beside me, and he says, how can I help you? And I said, my wife told me I need to come up here. And he goes, for what? And I said, I have no clue. And that's a true story. And then I said, but I think I'm supposed to be a member here. He literally stood up and said, Jerry Ladd's come forth. His wife has been coming here, and he wants to be a member. And he says, all in favor, say aye. And I'm not joking about that. That's what happened. I'm like, these people don't even know me, and they're going to vote for me. It's pretty cool. And they don't know who I am, and yet I'm getting their votes. Maybe I need to run for council. I don't know. But as I grew a little bit more and got into the Word of God, I could see very quickly that wasn't right. It's not up to man to add us to the church. Amen? It's up to what the Lord says. So when I think about that, I go back to those days. How do I know with all the religious division taking place, with all these places that call themselves the church? Let me tell you something. I could not care any less what's written on that sign out there. Do you understand that? I don't care what it says as long as it's not nothing really nasty. I don't care what it says. What matters is that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What matters is that I am a member of the body of Christ. I'm going to be a member of the church that Christ established. In Matthew 16:18, the Bible says, and I say to you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, who's speaking here? Jesus is speaking. Will you say that? Jesus is speaking. I don't know if you meant it or not, but I'll let it go. But he says, Jesus is speaking, I will build my church. Who just said that? Jesus said it. So Jesus is telling you and me both, I'm building my church. Now watch this. And the gates of what? Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. Well, what does that mean? That means that even though death is going to happen, Jesus is saying, even though my life is going to end and I'm going to ascend on high, my church will always stand. Do you understand that? My church. Whose church? The church that Christ established. Well, when did that happen? On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So if you're confused with all this religious division, confused about where I need to go and what I need to do, why don't you just let God answer it? Do you agree I just showed you that in Scripture? I want to be a member of the body of Christ. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciple indeed. So Jesus says, I'm his disciple. Well, then I want to be part of his church. Amen? And then let me show you something else over in the book of Acts chapter 2, down in verse 47. How many people's there? It's four people's there. Say amen if you're there. All right, good. So Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Watch this. You remember a while ago I told you about them people voting for me? Y'all remember that, or I got to go through that thing again? All right, good. You're like, no, please don't make him go through that again. Courtney's like, yeah, make him do it again. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Bible says, and having favor with all of the people, the who? What did he do? Added to the what? Whose church? Those that are being what? All right, so that eliminates mankind voting for us to put us in the church, doesn't it? So I don't need you to judge me, and you certainly don't need me to judge you, right? I believe that's one of our problems that we have in the churches today is we got too many people judging. We got way too many people. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm here because I need medication and meditation. My meditating is on the Word of God. That is my medication. I'm here today because I am a sinner and I need God in my life and I want to maintain God in my life because if I don't, it's going to be no time at all before I'm away from Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? So I've got to. I want to go to that place called heaven. And I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get there. If it means that taking up that cross daily means I've got to change my friendship, that's fine. If it means I've got to even change jobs, that's all right too. Because the Bible says to seek Him first, doesn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Then what did the Lord say to His disciples in Luke chapter 9, verse 23? Then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, you better do what? Deny yourself and take up that what? And then do what? And then follow me. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. That cross is not always real light. Do we get that? That cross, Leanne, can be very heavy, can't it? Dana, how heavy can that cross be? Well, it may mean changing who we like. It may be changing who we frequent, the places that we frequent. It may mean I'm going to change my whole association. I've got to be careful the movies I view, don't I? I got to be careful the music I listen to. No more, 3-6 Mafia, no more ZZ Top Fandango, no more, what was that other one I used to listen to and John's mama got on to me at home? Toys in the Attic, I think that was Aerosmith, wasn't it? and all that. I still like November Rain by Guns N' Roses. Who said Guns N' Roses? We're going to have a huge invitation here in just a moment. And Chris might as well come up because he is guilty. I said Guns N' Roses. Chris is like, yeah, man. All right. Y'all are sick. Okay, but I love you. Christ came to establish his church, yes or no? Despite persecution, despite trials, despite suffering, Jesus has accomplished his mission in building his church. Amen. Christ is risen. Mission accomplished. Thank you, God. Amen. The third and final point, then this lesson's going to go home with you. You can do with it what you want. But the third point is this. Jesus Christ came here to show us how to love and forgive one another. I don't like this point. Didn't like it when I was putting the lesson together. I'm not going to like it when I leave this building here in a few moments, because some people's easier to love than others, aren't they? I can love those who love me because I'm selfish and immature. But you're asking me, God, to love those that say nasty things about me? You're asking me, Lord, to love and to be good to someone that's not good to me? You're asking me, Lord, to let this go, what he did to me, what he or she said about my family? You're asking me to let that go? I don't think so. I'm in charge here, God. No, we're not. The reality is this. Jesus Christ was hanging on that cruel cross at Calvary. He had had a crown of thorns. It wasn't placed on his brow, brothers and sisters. It was crushed into his brow. How do I know that? Because he was bleeding. We know that Jesus, as I said before, he gave his eyes to weep for us, didn't he? He gave his cheeks, his face to be smitten and to be smacked for us. He gave his shoulders to carry that cross on, didn't he? He gave his back to have his skin peeled from his back, not because of something he did, but because of something we did. Amen? And then he had his legs and his feet to be nailed, and his feet to be nailed, his hands to be nailed to that cruel cross at Calvary. Why did he do that? Because of his enemies, the ones that put him on the cross. Well, who was that? Us. We put him on the cross. We may not have been there that day physically, but we're still doing it today. When we go against the very will of God, when we refuse to do what God's calling us to do, we are crucifying again Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? We are crucifying again our Heavenly Father. Let's make sure that Jesus didn't die in vain in our lives. Let's make sure that we're doing what God is calling us to do. Let's make sure that we are forgiving one another the way he forgave us. Jesus was on that cruel cross. And you remember what he said? Father, y'all remember on this side besides two of y'all? Y'all remember what he said? Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They don't realize the seriousness of their sin. They don't realize who it is that they crucified, who they are crucifying. I'm not sure I could have done that. I'm pretty sure I couldn't have done that, because I'm just a weak little vessel if I'm away from Jesus. Amen? But Jesus didn't do it. He stretched out his arms, nailed to that cruel cross at Calvary, with thorns crushed into his brow, with sweat rolling down from him, being totally dehydrated, dying of thirst, dying of exhaustion, and he still, to that very moment, showed his love for you and me. And yet, at the same time with us, we struggle forgiving someone because they got our parking space at Walmart. We struggle against someone because we let them out in traffic and they didn't say thank you, so we give them signs back and it's not waving. We do things of that nature, and it's ridiculous, and yet we're Christians. And I'll never forget, never, I know y'all think this is a joke, but it's not. I'll never forget hearing about this. The guy said that he was behind what he thought was a Christian. You had the little fish symbol on there. And then on the back, it says, honk the horn if you love Jesus. And he blew the horn, and the guy gave him a half of a peace sign. And the reality is what? You told me on your bumper to blow the horn. I did, and now you're giving me those vain, horrible things, those signs by you. Let's be careful of the message we're given. If we love God, then we love God. Amen? If we realize and know that Christ Jesus helped the beauty, comfort, splendor of heaven, and then he died, he was put to death, and he was put in that borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and then 3 days later he rose again, then why aren't we following Jesus? There's something about this Jesus, isn't it? Isn't it? Then let's follow him. Let's follow after the righteousness of God and not the unrighteousness of Satan or anybody else. Amen? So, it's high time for you and me to do something as we get ready to close our lesson. It's time for you and me to man up today, isn't it? It's time for us today that if we're holding a grudge, today let it go. Amen? If we're holding a grudge, if we're mad, if we're upset, that's all right to be mad and upset. But when you allow that to dictate you and it impedes your relationship with Jesus Christ, you're the one sinning. Amen? You're the one falling short. I love most everybody. I love everybody. So, and then there's a lot of people I really do like, and there's a lot of people I really do love, and there's some people I just don't want to be around, and we'll never be chicken-eating buddies. But the reality is, there's not a person in all of the world that I don't want to go to heaven. Amen? I want everybody to go to heaven. I don't see anybody in that place called hell, no matter what they've done. But the reality is, we've got to love each other. We've got to grow up. Amen? We got to learn to forgive one another. I think, again, about how Jesus, He forgave us even after all the different things that we've done to Him. Have you noticed how we are constantly asking God to forgive us? Has anybody ever noticed that? If you're a member of a Lord's church somewhere and they do opening prayer and closing prayer and middle of the service prayer and even at your home prayer, you always hear the conclusion the same way. And Lord, we ask you to do this. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have y'all noticed that? So we ask God for all of these things, and we ask God in the conclusion of our prayers, we ask you to forgive us of all of our sins. We ask it constantly. You know, I pray probably 10 times a day. No telling how many times you pray. And we always ask for forgiveness. And then, God forgive me, but I'm not going to forgive him. Not after what he did. In the book of Matthew, chapter, I know y'all got a reading to do in Matthew 18, 21 through 35 later on today. Think you'll really do it? That means no. All right, so Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15, the Bible says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Are y'all ready for 15? Right now, that's a pretty cool deal. Right now, I could leave and I could be okay with this. But I don't. There's a little lad child in trouble. Forgive her. She's my granddaughter. I tried to save her, guys. She acts like her daddy, not her granddaddy. Okay. Verse 15, "But if you do not," maybe you need to read this with me. Let's go. "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours." Conclude this. Grow up. Man up. Talking to me. Let it go. Thank you. Thank you. Let it go. Jesus came here to show you and me how we're supposed to do it. I believe this morning we could go on and on discussing the very reason that Christ came to the earth. You and I both know that Jesus left heaven, come here to reveal and to show us his Father. We discussed that. We know that Jesus came here to establish whose church? His church. Did we establish it? Yes. Now, not some man-made church, but the church that he gave his life for, the church it was established, the one he adds us to. I'm thankful today that Christ Jesus came here to show us how to love and to forgive one another. I didn't really go real deep into that. That's a whole nother lesson because I want to get out of here today, and you do too. But Christ is risen. Christ came here, and he also left us, thankfully, the truth to go by, didn't he? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall. It's going to set you free. Sometimes I don't like the way that's used in our marriage. Sometimes Paul will say, "Tell the truth, and the truth still might set you free." And I'm like, well, hold on just a second. I didn't like that. But we need to be set free, not free from the consequences, earthly consequences of sin, because when we sin and fall short, we break the laws of the land, there's earthly consequences, isn't it? But when we sin and we get forgiveness, that takes away the eternal consequences of sin. Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says, "It is appointed once for man to die, after this the judgment." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we've done, whether good or bad." So are you going to be held accountable? Christ is risen, mission complete, mission accomplished. How do you like that so far? Y'all like it because I just closed the Bible and threw recording. He's like, thank God. Okay. All right. Well, listen to me. Thank you for being here today. I'm excited, and I hope you are. I'm excited to tell you that my God is an awesome God and worthy to be praised. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus left heaven. He came here to this earth, and he did all these great things for you and me. What will you do for Jesus? God's given you everything. He's given you the love of your life. He's given you food, shelter, clothing. He's given you all that. Now he's given you spiritual freedom. What will you give him? Will you give him your life today by hearing his word? Well, I gave you his word by scripture. Do you all agree with that? Hear it. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in his word. Make a confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Make sure that you repent. Luke 13:3 and also 5, "I tell you nay, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Be willing to change, not just willing, but do it. Amen? So we've got to make a change. Also, upon our confession of faith to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, right? Be faithful unto death, according to Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death. And then always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Maybe today you've been through the steps of salvation. Maybe you have become a child of the Most High God, but you realize, you know what, I've not been living my life conducive with what the Scripture says. I want to get my life right. Please don't leave this building not having your life right with Jesus. Today you're given an opportunity. God is giving you an opportunity to make sure that things are right. Amen? All right. If you have a need, and you're just any need at all, you need the prayers of the congregation, let us know. If you're looking for a home congregation, we'd love to have you here at James Avenue Church of Christ. If you have a need, any need at all, you're welcome to come right now as together we stand and we sing.